today, talk about kind of eating etiquette, kind of your, from a couple different perspectives. One, just, you know, eating normally at home, how to organize things, how to, some people, have discussed with me that things like cutting meat or, finding things on your plate or knowing what you have on your plate is an issue. And so I wanted to just cover that a little bit, maybe talk about what it's like to go through a buffet line, what it's maybe like to go to through a cafeteria line, which doesn't have to be different. Those two things are kind of similar. And then maybe even eating at a banquet, because if you're involved in the National Federation of the Blind, somewhere along the line, you probably will eat at some kind of a banquet type deal. Or maybe you're just in an organization where occasionally there are Christmas parties or whatever, retirement parties to go to, and you like that formal, or some people just like entertaining that way at home. So those are some of the first things I thought we'd talk about. And I've got other ideas if this isn't, doesn't take up all our time. So eating etiquette, we all eat, and a lot of us, for me, one, eating and eating properly and growing up, you know, not making a mess at the table and those kinds of things was pretty much something you paid attention to. Now, some homes are a little more lax, you know, I mean, people try and be neat about what they eat and all this kind of thing. But I know, especially if you've got children around, that's not necessarily going to happen and stuff. But eating at home, you know what you prepare. You get your plates out. You put your food on a plate and you've dished it up. So you know where things are. And that's one thing. But when you go to a restaurant, is it really any different? Because you've ordered what you want to eat and you know what that, sometimes in a more casual restaurant, you might get a basket, like a hamburger basket. So the hamburger basket would have hamburger, French fries, and maybe coleslaw, maybe a pickle, sometimes things like that. So you know what you've ordered, and especially a hamburger basket, a sandwich basket, those typically are things you can pick up with your hands and eat. So I know people that will go to a restaurant and that's all they will ever order. And it's because that's what they're comfortable with eating. And I think that's fine if that's what you want to eat, but do we always want to limit ourselves because that's just what we're comfortable with? And so when you're at home, it's a really good time to practice things like cutting meat, finding things on your plate. If you dish up your own food, the food is coming around the table in a bowl or whatever, you dish out what you want. And there again, setting the bowl close to your plate, kind of feeling with your hands how the space that you're going to reach towards on your plate. And you can turn your plate in a clockwise or whatever manner so that the next bowl that comes around, you've turned your plate a little bit so that there's an empty place right there. I tend to dish up from my left to my plate's in the middle. My food that I'm dishing up is on my left. So you'd have an empty space there. And then you could rotate your plate again. The next item that comes around, then you've got an empty space there. Now, I've also known of people who go to a restaurant and when they eat, that's exactly how they eat. Now, I've never done that. I actually never thought about it, but I guess it does work. They will rotate their plate and eat whatever's in front of them. Then they'll rotate it a quarter turn and eat whatever in front of them. Then rotate it a quarter turn and eat the next thing. Now, other times, even when you're dishing up at home, you can use like a clock face. 12 would be your mashed potatoes. 3 would p.m. would be your vegetables. 6 p.m. would be your meat. And 9 p.m. might be a dinner roll or whatever. So, or more vegetables or whatever. So you can line up your plate like that. Now, I think those are make things simple. They simplify things to have that clock face. But sometimes restaurants go overboard telling you stuff like that. On the other hand, if they do tell you that, even if you know, like I tend to want to say, I'll just use my fork and I'll figure out what I've got. I appreciate your help, you know, because I do. I've got a fork that will feel, if I know what I've ordered, it'll feel all those items. You can feel your mashed potatoes or your baked potato. You can feel where your vegetables are and stuff. I don't absolutely need them to do that. But if they do that, even if I don't necessarily want that explained for me, I will at least try and be polite. I try it, like Winfred said, sometimes our last nerve has gotten irritated for the day. And sometimes you just get overwhelmed with things. But I try and be polite, go, thank you very much. I appreciate that. But one thing I like to do at home is, and at a restaurant, is to have a piece of bread or a roll or something like that, that you can use as what we call a pusher. Now, you could use a knife if no roll is available. You could use a knife and kind of I'm right-handed, so I'm very right-handed. So if I ever broke that hand, I would be in a world of hurt. But so I'd use you could use a spoon or a knife in your left hand, and you could keep it kind of on the edge of your plate and kind of every now and then kind of push things in towards your plate so that things don't fall in this little ring around your plate as you're eating. And practicing that at home is always a better idea than getting out in public or not going to a public place just because you feel insecure about that. Practice at home, dishing up your plate, putting it food in these various places, and then get used to feeling with your fork what food feels like, both with your fork, and then you'll have an idea when you get more in public. You don't have to feel insecure about that. With cutting meat, what I tend to do, if you've got a piece of chicken, steak, pork chop, something that's got a little depth to it, hamburger steak would work, or a hamburger if you don't use the bun and that kind of thing. I would turn the fork so that the tines of the fork, the teeth of the fork, are just down on the plate. And then I kind of back up my fork with that rounded into your tines, kind of like using the back of your fingers. You'd back that up to the edge of the meat. Then I might lift up that fork just a little bit and go just a little bit inside that piece of meat. Not very far, but a little bit. And I'd hold my fork there. And then whatever hand you use for cutting, I'd have my fork in my left hand, my knife in my right hand. I'd put my knife right against that, those teeth of the fork, and I would cut right against that. Now, if you're cutting kind of at a diagonal, you're probably going to get a little bigger piece than what you want. So I might leave my fork right where it is, but I would cut in from to the side of the fork and cut a piece there. Then I'd leave my knife there, move my fork to the left a little bit, move my knife in towards my fork again, and cut another little piece. And that way, you've got a little more of a bite-sized piece of meat. And then you can lay your knife down, pick up your fork, and again, if it's obvious where that piece of meat is to you right then and there, find it. If you need your pusher, your bread, or another utensil to find that, you can do that. And that's a kind of helpful way of cutting a smaller piece. And if you practice this at home, it will make life a lot more comfortable when you go out in public. So you just, as your piece of meat gets smaller, you can rotate that piece of meat so that you've got a corner or an edge of it that's closer to you. Put your fork up onto the piece of meat. Just kind of judge like a half an inch away or an inch away. And then stick your fork there and cut your knife against that fork. And that way you're not aiming out into the middle of the plate, not knowing really how big a piece you've got, and you can keep it closer size-wise to you. And that way then use your knife more perpendicular, up, straight up and down, 12 to 6 kind of, instead of at an angle, and cut your pieces smaller. And I think that really has helped me get a little more used to it. And then there again, if you're not comfortable so much with reaching, or you've got something like, I tend to scoot things with my fork to the middle of the plate as well. So as you're eating your plate of food and you're eating some of your vegetables, there's less of them. There's less potatoes. There's less. I'm not one that has to have everything separated on my plate. For those that do, I guess you'd want to maybe rotate your plate more and that kind of thing to get all the food that's on your plate. But I tend to kind of scoot things towards the middle, either with your fork or your piece of bread. And that way it keeps kind of things in a little pile in the middle, and you can keep track, especially with rice or something that's a little I've been using, when my accidentally touched my phone, I've been using that tip that they gave us of a 2-finger quick tap on your phone and it shuts up the phone. That has really worked. I appreciate that tip this week. But anyway, it keeps the looser things that you're eating in your meal kind of more together. If you're going through, if you go to a restaurant and you're going through a buffet line, that's an option that you have that you would like to participate in. You can, I've done both ways. I've gone up by myself, or I've recruited maybe someone that I'm traveling with or at the restaurant with, and go up with them to the buffet. I would keep my cane with me so that the individual serving the buffet knows that you're blind. And that way they'll talk to you a little bit more and describe things a little bit more. Sometimes if you're with a friend and you, that's, they're not recognizing if they're sighted, they're not recognizing what they're seeing anyway. And if they're blind, you both need to help. So it's helpful to just have your cane with you and go through. And I would keep my cane in my dominant hand and probably kind of lean it up against my shoulder, just stand it right up in the crook of your elbow and use a pencil grip for going down the line. And you can move your tray. Often with COVID, there's a person behind the buffet line. There's a kind of a splash guard thing where you can hear, it's a little barrier between you and them that is common these days. And they will tell you what there is. Sometimes they will dish it up for you if you're inclined to, you know, get it yourself. You can feel with the serving utensil sometimes what the food is. Now, it is still helpful to me to have a description, especially like if you're going to a there's a lot of food that might have a sauce to it or something like that. You might not recognize exactly what that is unless somebody has described what's coming up along the line of the buffet. But you can reach in under the splash guard with the utensil. They're usually long handled, and you can put your plate to the edge of the, on the, you put a plate on a tray, have the tray next to the top side of the, oh boy, my words are escaping me, the tray, the shelf that you're pushing your tray on, and you'd put it as close as you can get it, and you can try and hold the spoon as level as you can feel it. You feel the weight of the food on it. And then you bring it kind of close to the plate and then tip the hand, your hand towards you. And that way the food that's on the spoon will come onto your plate. And you can do that as you go down if you'd like to serve yourself. It is helpful to know. Now, some food has, if it's meat items, there's going to be tongs there. And you can squeeze the tongs together and pick up the food item and put it there. Again, rotating your plate would be helpful. That way, each thing that you bring to your plate, there's a space for it on your plate, and you can go down the road. Now, a cafeteria setting would be more where a buffet, often they're serving you, or it's the plate and everything. You're not necessarily carrying a tray. When I think of a cafeteria setting, I think of having a tray that your plate is sitting on and you're scooting it down the buffet line. And so, and we actually, when we have our in-person senior retreats at Rocky Bottom, we actually spend some time learning how to use a tray, carry it in your, how to carry it with your plate on it and use your cane. And it is possible to do that. I would put my, have my tray on my left side, kind of bumped up against my waist or my hip, put my left arm out across the top of your tray. The finger, your, I kind of rested actually on your forearm that, where your elbow is. That way your fingers are kind of on the top side of the tray, furthest away from you. And your fingers can be a little bit feeling, at least touching where the plate is, and you can keep it kind of level that way. And then I would use with my cane hand, I would put my, your canes in your palm of your hand, or your pencil grip, like you're using it. But I also might stick my wrist just a little bit underneath the front right corner of the tray to kind of help balance it. So you're balancing it on your hip on your left side with your on your forearm, but then you've got your left side, especially if there's like your plate has a main your main dish items, then maybe you've got a separate bowl for salad or a separate bowl for fruit. Those are going to a lot of times sit on the top right or top left of the tray. And so the hand that your cane is in can be just a little bit where your thumb and wrist come together, helping balance your tray to, so that you can move your cane left and right and still feel, use your arc as much as you can, and you swing your cane to be able to find where your table would be. And I also use voice to say, you know, you might mention that you're, if you hear a lot of traffic right in front of you, crossing in front of you, say, I'm coming through with my cane or with my tray. I mean, you'd say you're coming through with your tray. And then you might call to somebody that's at the table that you want to sit at and find out how far you need to walk and this sort of thing. But by having your using your cane and a pencil grip, you can still swing your cane and use it correctly with your alternate steps with your cane, and that way find where you're supposed to be sitting. But we practice all that stuff in the cafeteria that we use. Is there's quite a bit of walking space, and there's a lot of distance between where you're actually walking into the kitchen on the right, walking through the kitchen, coming out on the left, and then you're having to walk a little distance to get to where the tables actually start. It's a very big dining room. And so there's plenty of space is what I'm saying. You want to, so that you don't have to worry about tripping people up. I would put my tray on the table, find the table, and try not to just tilt it forward and set it down. What I would do is kind of bend at the knee, find the edge of the table with my hand, and just kind of scoot the tray onto the table as level as you can get it so that things just don't go sliding forward onto the table. I would find my place. I would maybe mark it with, oh, maybe my purse or my jacket or something like that, the book bag that you've got with you. And then I would go get my drink at a separate, in a separate move, because I think it's, that just takes a little more skill to be able to deal with your drink. You want to be able to have plenty of opportunity to practice that if you're carrying that on your tray as well. So I prefer to put my tray down and then go get my drink separate. So it can be done either way.
This is Judy.
Yes.
That is one way to do it. It really depends on the kind of place where you are. If you are in a restaurant line, you may or may not want to go back to get your drink, because you have to decide then, do you go through the whole line or do they have the drinks in a separate place where it's easily done? One of the things you can do if you decide that you want to put your drink on the tray with your food is to put the drink in the left-hand corner of the tray. And that way, when you're holding the tray in your left hand or on your left arm, and you grab with your left hand underneath the tray that's now by the right hand, left-hand corner, then take a couple of your fingers above the tray, and touch the glass. If you can hold the glass with just a couple of fingers and keep the rest of your hand underneath the tray, you should be able to keep it steady and walk. Don't run to the nearest table that you get to sit at.
Exactly. Sometimes I know what I want to say and I get tangled up in all of it. So thank you for saying that. That's exactly correct. Yeah. And, so that's a description as best we could talk through it, I guess, of how to do a cafeteria line and holding a tray. But those things are even fun at a chapter meeting or an opportunity just to go together with a group of friends and go to a place like that and kind of practice together and do it. And sometimes the camaraderie of having other people there can both be humorous. It can alleviate some of the tension of what you're experiencing. And if, especially if it's a place you go to very often, you can just be more comfortable with the setting that you're in. And sometimes that makes a good difference. So now if you're at a banquet, like I'm thinking of our national banquets that we go to for the NFB, when we go to a national convention and the last night is a really nice banquet, you are, you know, there's tablecloths and you've got your formal setting of, you know, the silverware to the left, the silverware to the right, and silverware perpendicular across the top of the plate. And then you then start your lineup of your cups, and you've got a coffee cup sitting not too far in on your right side. Then above that'll be a pedestal glass with the liquid in it. Above that'll be another pedestal glass, kind of curving around a little bit from your right into the middle. And then you've got your crossways, utensils for, they're there. I'll explain them in a minute. And then, oftentimes also you're looking around. Sometimes there's a salad already sitting at your place. And sometimes you're feeling around, you're going, well, where's my napkin? I can't find my napkin. And so often they've folded it real cute and they put it in your coffee cup. So you want to be sure you take your napkin out of your coffee cup, or it could be folded on your left side, or it just depends. If the salad's not sitting there, sometimes it's sitting right in front of you between your silverware sitting on the left and the right. So, but it can be in the coffee cup. That's why I mentioned that, because you want to do that. So you've got all these cups. I like to kind of feel my space, how close I am to the next chair to me, and how much a little bit of space I've got there. And oftentimes you'll have a dessert sitting up on the top left as well. So
all, and if you're Glenn Crosby, you start with that dessert, Shelley.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, I like that idea. That's right. So what I do is I kind of start rearranging things. And I'll tell you why. Because I don't like the accidental reaching out to find something, and next thing you know, you've tipped over your tall pedestal glass of iced tea or water, whatever. So I will kind of feel where these things are, and I might start moving them a little more in the middle up on top of my plate, like above where your plate would be, but kind of to the center, right directly in front of where you are. And I'd line up my water in the middle of a top, then just here to the right, I'd put my scoop, my tea glass up a little bit further than usually where it is. And then I'd put my coffee cup more at the top right corner of your plate, a little more in sync with where normally it would be, even just sitting at your place. And that way it keeps it away from the edge of the table. That's what I'm trying to avoid, is things being right on the edge of the table, because I'm afraid that I might reach over to do something and next thing you know, there you might spill something. And then, so the silverware on your right side is, now let me think if I got this right, is usually your forks are to the, there's a big one right against the plate, then a more medium one, and then a smaller, maybe a smaller one. There's 2 to 3 forks.
Actually, the forks are on the left.
On the left. That's correct. I knew that. Uh-huh. I knew that. I don't know why I said that. Anyway, to the left. So then to the right, you've got spoons on the outside, and you come in and you've got a knife against the plate. And the knife is always turned so the blade part is in towards the plate. That's just a little etiquette thing there. But so on the left, your littler forks are on the outside. Those are for your salad. And then the bigger ones are for your dinner as you come in towards the plate. Now, the ones across at the top of the plate that are perpendicular across the top are for your dessert. So that's where you'll normally have maybe a fork, maybe a spoon, or a couple of spoons or whatever. But they're laying crosswise above, and that's what they're for. They're for your dessert.
And Shelley, one of the things you can predict, if there's a fork in that spot laying across, you know, perpendicular, then you're probably having cake or pie. And if there is a spoon, or sometimes the spoons are to the right, One of them is for if you're going to put stuff in your coffee. And if there's two spoons, one of them probably is going to be for another dessert. And then you're probably getting pudding or ice cream.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good thought. That's a good thought. So those are just, and then, of course, you know, you put your cloth napkin on your lap and all that kind of thing. But those are just some kind of ins and outs of, don't feel bad if you're kind of moving things. I guess at least I don't feel bad because I want to be comfortable in the space that I have. And I want to know where things are. And then as people are passing your salad dressings and the rolls, you can kind of keep that a little more in front of you, but right kind of closer to the edge of the table and pass around. And you're a little less likely to, you know, spill things or whatever. The other thing is keep your hand connected with the table. If you're feeling something, keep your hand on the table and going forward. If you're looking for dressing, for instance, kind of keep it on the table and kind of follow the outline of your plate and come around to the top of your plate. And there might be a plate up there that's got a little gravy boat like looking thing on it. And they're usually silver and all this kind of thing. And they might have a spoon in it. A lot of times that'll be your salad dressings. Sometimes you get these salad dressings in kind of a multi, what do you call that thing? Where there's two or three dressings in a container as it's going around. It's like a, what do you call that, Judy?
Lazy Susan. I don't know.
Lazy Susan type.
I don't think so. It's usually not that big. But
nah, it's not. It's not called that, but it's got.
But what you want to know is, though, if you're like me, you want to know which dressing is which. And so the only way to know that is to ask.
Right. Because
you don't want to stick your finger in it and then taste it. Tempting as that may be.
Right. Right. And usually the servers are really good about that. And sometimes there's somebody at the table that will be able to recognize what dressings are which. But the servers are very helpful in those kinds of situations. And sometimes they'll say, do you want me to put it on for you? And that's personal choice. It's perfectly fine to do it yourself. Just, you know, follow the outline of your plate as you're dipping the dressing, hold it as level as you can, and then just follow the outline of your plate and in the middle, and you usually do pretty well. I try and not get tons on, even if I like more dressing. I try and not do a lot. That's just me. I'm more comfortable with less is better than, you know, taking a chance on getting too much or something. So anyway, and then passing it on, you can pass it on to the next person to the right or to the left, but you've got that space kind of closest to you where you've kind of cleared off your cups and stuff, and you can set it there. And as you're doing it, mention what you're passing. Here comes the salad dressing, and make sure they've kind of connected with you so that the person to your right or left is aware that, you know, they're not just talking and focused on something else. They're kind of, you know, that just helps so that people don't have accidents and that kind of thing. So ideas or comments about etiquette of any kind, table etiquette, how to eat in a restaurant, those kinds of things.
Liz, I have one suggestion, especially for our banquet, especially when you're passing like the dressing and things, be aware of drippage, you know, from the actual spoons, but also be aware of like if you have bracelets on or long sleeves. Sometimes that can get in your way. And more than once I've seen a knife go down a gentleman's sleeve or something of the sort. So just kind of be aware of
that. Is true.
Anything dangling as well. We have a raised hand. Let me see who it is. Ada, if you'd like to
unmute. Ada. Hi.
I sent you a request to unmute.
Star 6 or whatever. I don't know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Big pop-ups on my screen. Okay, I figured it out.
There you are.
Yep, we hear you.
One thing I like to do if I'm going to a restaurant, especially one where I'm not really familiar with, is I always try to get the menu and look at it online and with one of my devices at home before I go, so I don't have to spend a lot of time having people read the menu to me or getting out my Seeing AI or whatever or trying to find a little print with a magnifier. I find that it makes going to a restaurant much smoother, and I don't feel uncomfortable having to always ask somebody, would you read me what kind of appetizers they have, kind of thing. And so I sort of know, and I have one or two choices in mind. So if they don't have what I want specifically, I can order what I want before I go. I know what I want before I go.
So Ada, this is Judy. What I have found is that the menu that's online often doesn't match what is in the restaurant.
Right. That's why I usually make two choices.
Yeah. I just want to say that it does help if you, or if you're like me and you don't even think about online. but if you, it's perfectly okay to ask them to read the menu, but if you're going to do it, pick the categories you want to know about. Don't make them read the whole thing, especially when you know you could care less about part of it.
Right.
So ask for the appetizers, and they love doing it. You know, they love to brag about some stuff or give you some hints. But that's a part of their job.
Yeah. I mean, it does happen where I ask somebody, look up, I usually end up ordering appetizers because most restaurants give you way too much food. I find a couple appetizers is fine for me for a meal more than enough sometimes.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, it's helpful to be a little conscientious of what you think you want. I mean, if you're at a place you don't know, you've not been there or something, you could ask them to do categories. And then, like Judy said, I think it's helpful to just, you know, not make them go. Some restaurants have huge menus.
I know, just exactly.
And yeah. Don't make them read the description unless you pick out the ones you really think you're interested in and then ask them to describe it if you want.
Right.
Otherwise,
it happens with friends, too. If we're out someplace in a mall or shopping and go for lunch, tell me what's on the menu, because the menu's on the wall way back there and there's no way I could see it even with my monocular. I can't read it. I said, and they'll start reading it and read tuna fish wrap, tuna fish lettuce, tomato, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And you said, no. Just the big letters. Just read the big letters.
Yeah.
Judy?
Oh, that's good. Yes.
Figure out how to raise my hand. I'm sorry. This is Marion from Rochester. There also were Braille menus. Lobster.
Yeah, there are. But the problem with them is that a lot of the people in this crowd don't read Braille yet.
Okay. That is a good suggestion, though.
I love it, Braille menu.
Mm-hmm. It's fun when you get a chance to have a Braille menu if you know Braille.
Nancy's hand is raised. Nancy?
Nancy. Where are you?
Nancy, I'm sending a ask to unmute.
Do we have anyone else who's raising their hand? We can come back and stay unmuted, Nancy, if you get there.
This is Michael. Let's make a quick comment. We were talking the other day about travel apps, and so related to restaurants. That's why I like Blind Square, because not only it's neat because it hones in on the exact restaurant that you're in, but it also links to the menu. So it's very handy sometimes to quickly get the menu for those who are comfortable enough with your iPhone to do that, to get the menu, and since it is a printed one or PDF or whatever it is, you could read it on your phone and it's more accurate. Because I love Braille menus too, but sometimes they're outdated. They were 2 years ago and food options have been added or removed.
And the one thing I really wanted is the one thing that's not on their menu anymore.
Yeah, I find that too. I find that a lot.
It's sad. Yeah. Nancy, did we ever get to you?
Nancy is still muted.
Yeah.
Anybody else with a hand up?
If not, I was going to mention a couple other things. I got more arsenal in my tote bag here. So another thought that I had, we've covered food and things like that. And it's just, you just want to feel comfortable with communicating. Don't feel like you can't ask questions of what situation you're in. But the next thing I was thinking of kind of has to do with money matters. So paper money. I wondered if people have a system for folding their money. That's how I keep track of it. There are wallets that have various sections to them that people will put, and you can get these from the independent market as well or other aid and appliance places that have several slots for your paper money. But it's also helpful if you fold it. And
audio settings button menu.
Is somebody, Nancy, you're unmuted now.
Okay, Nancy.
Yes, imagine that. Except now I've got to remember what I was going to. Coming on. I'm so sorry.
Well, you're fine. If you think of it, jump in.
Okay.
Okay. But I fold money in different ways. I typically don't have really big bills like 50s and 100s or anything like that. My biggest is usually a 20. If I go to a convention and I want to carry some bigger bills just because it kind of
audio settings
compacts.
Currently, all plus A
space that I have. I'm trying to get my phone to be quiet.
Nancy, you're still unmuted. I noticed you put your hand back up. Did you remember your question, or would you like me to go?
Yes,
you?
Okay. I did. And it had to do with Braille menus. A lot of times, the Braille menus are great if they're up to date. In fact, we always. Well, I always asked if, you know, how old the menu was. And my daughter, when she was about 4, one day before I could ask, she said, "Is the menu up to date?" And it was so funny. Because a lot of times menus are, you know, they get Braille ones and they're so excited about getting Braille ones. And then they forget to change them when the menu changes.
Right, right. That is true. That is true. Thank you. Yeah. So for the money, I a $1 bill I would leave straight. A $5 bill I would fold from left to right. So it's end to end. It's like it makes it square, kind of more square. A $10 bill I would fold from the top of the bill to the bottom. So it's kind of long and narrow. And my way of thinking is 20 is 2 times 10. So I just fold that in half. Left to right. And that gives me a $20 bill. And then I just line them up in my wallet or put them in. You could put them in different sections of your wallet as well, if you wanted to kind of separate your ones and fives from your tens and twenties or that kind of thing. So having a system is kind of my point of keeping track of your money so that you don't. And people with debit cards nowadays, you don't maybe carry as much money with you, but it is worth having some kind of a system for that in case you get change back from your shopping and that kind of thing. So for credit cards and debit cards, things like this, I don't know if people have good ways of keeping their numbers, memorizing their numbers, or keeping them on your phone in your notes section or whatever. If you use Braille, an idea that you can do is there's plastic paper you can get from the National Center Independent Market, and it's not Mylar paper. Mylar is real thin, but this is a little bit heavier plastic, and you can cut that the size of a debit card, and then you could Braille the name of the card. I put the name of the card and expiration date on one line, and I squish things up. I don't leave lots of spacing because it's small as your size of your credit card. The next line might have the first 8 letters, numbers of your card. And I'd put a number sign at the beginning for myself, but then I would not put other number signs in it. And then the third row would have the next 8 numbers. And I do put a space between 4 and 4. So it's easier to read them that way. And then the bottom line, I would put the 3-digit number on the back of your card. And that way you can slip that thing right behind your regular card in your wallet. It's very thin paper. And so it's something you can carry with you then. And if you read Braille, it's a handy way to have your numbers right with you, and you don't have to remember things all the time. If you're, I guess the better, if you don't read Braille and print isn't real useful for you, then I would maybe find a way to put it in some kind of a notes section, a little file in your phone, and that way you would have your numbers available. But those are for people who do use Braille, those are a couple little tricks I've come up with over the years, and I thought I would mention those.
I want to add one thing. You know, Shelley is right about organizing your money and developing a system that you have invented so that you know which bill is which. There is no right way to do it. There's no wrong way to do it. But it's your system and you will remember it. And that struck me as important. And I figured it out because when I was getting instruction from traditional rehab people, they would say, now, this is how you fold your fives. And this is how. And I could never remember what they told me to do. But when I invented the system, I remembered it. And So they yelled at me. Can you believe it?
And I think that, well, that's not right. That's just not right. But that is the key. And different people you speak with will have different ways of doing it. And some of them, you know, might be, oh, okay, that's all right. And sometimes somebody might have a way that they do it that you really like, but it really doesn't matter. There is no specific prescribed way of doing a lot of things. You can create your own system.
Ada Wilson's hand has been raised.
Sure. Ada, yes. Feel free to jump in.
I'm sorry.
You're fine.
There's something new on my iPad that I have to do when I want to unmute. Anyway, I really like your way of doing some things. I do the same thing. I have my own invented system. But I sometimes get mixed up with between my fives and my tens. And it never occurred to me to fold it over the long way.
Yeah.
And it's another way of folding it. Thank you. That's a good tip.
Yeah, sure.
But what I forgot what we were talking about before that I was thinking of. I think it was, what were we talking about? Restaurants.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Restaurants and menus and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Talking, Shelley.
I think I forgot what I got involved in thinking about holding my money. So never mind. I'll think of it later.
All right.
Nancy's hand is raised.
Alden.
Yeah.
Mute audio settings button menu. Mute currently.
You're unmuted, Nancy.
Unmuted. Wow, I did it on the first try. when we were talking about folding money, I remembered that you used to, at ATMs, you used to always get, if you had to, you could only get, in 20s. And so you had to, you couldn't ask for like $90. It had to be $100. Well, now you have choices of what denomination you want. And that's fine. But if you don't tell the thing what denominations you want, then you don't know what you're going to get. And so if that hasn't happened to you before, then you always have to find somebody to tell you what the dimensions are. I mean, excuse me, not dimensions. Gee, I can't even talk today. Dominations you have.
Yeah. Well, that's where the money reader from, it used to be through the library service. I don't think that's where that comes from anymore. But they're a little handheld device that can both work by speech and by vibration. And I think the independent market probably sells them. But
they should be free. You should not be buying. The independent market may sell it, but
I've had three of them
over the years, and I've ended up dropping each one.
Well, then you better get a lifetime supply.
Device is called the iBill, and you can go through your state library services to get one for free.
Okay, thank you so much. And they have a little slot on it. You slide your bill into it, and you push a button on the end of it. It's real small. It just, I can't think of something that fits that size, but it's pretty small. And you just push the button and it'll tell you the denomination. And it does it quietly enough that not everybody around you is going to need to hear it. Or you could raise the volume or lower it, or you could put it on a vibration. And one vibration means one, two vibrations could mean five, I think, something like that. And Those are very handy. The other thing, again, is we've got a denomination, money denomination thing on our Seeing AI. Seeing AI app.
That's correct.
Yes. So.
And also for size, it's kind of like a fat piece of gum. It's maybe 2 inches by an inch, something like that.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah, I was going to mention the Seeing AI, but you beat me to it. But I find that if I'm going out and I'm likely to be shopping and using cash rather than credit cards, I always make sure my money's in order before I leave the house. That way I'm not worried about, you know, sometimes if you change a 20 and they give you a bunch of bills, you don't want to just stand there and start folding up each bill to put it away carefully and then forget about it and then to go out the next day and not have it organized. But I'm not a very organized person, but that's one thing I always organize. And I know what I forgot before. We're talking about credit cards. Did you ever try to pay a bill in a supermarket with an Amtrak card?
that would be different.
They were the same size and it looks just like and feels just like a credit card. And they were trying to figure it out. And then I suddenly realized what I had done. And that's another thing I have learned how to do. I've also tried to pay my grocery bill in my little store downstairs with my SEPTA. That's my senior pass for the local buses and trains. I've tried to do that. And I think that's probably happened to everybody sometime or other. But I try to keep them in order. And I think it makes life much easier if these little things are organized.
That's right. And I actually put Braille right on the debit card. There can be places, or you wouldn't have to put Braille. You could put a sticky dot or a locator dot or something like that on it, because there are places on it where you're not going to run into the little barcode thing. And sometimes that's a helpful little way to mark ones that you use either more frequently or maybe the ones, if I don't use them very often, I probably would forget what mark I put on it. But if it's something I use pretty frequently, then I would remember. So that's totally possible to do.
Mm-hmm. The thing you have to be careful of, though, is if you put things in a certain order and then you spend some of the money, if you don't remember what you took out, it's not counting it is not going to work. The best way always is to fold it, because that's not going to change.
But when you get a bunch of change back, if you buy something for $4 and you change it 20, you don't want to stay there and do it then. I usually do it when I get
home. You don't have to do it then, but what you should do is ask them to tell you which bill is which, and then keep it in the order till you're at a place where you can do it. But do it as soon as possible, because you won't remember the order. You know, especially if you start spending some of it.
Right.
Well, and this is Michael, and of course, now with the cards that have the chips in it, that's another way you can tell an actual credit card from other cards you may have.